Welcome to the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Somerset Patriots and New York Yankees prospect coverage. Here are your hosts, Steve Cusumano and Eli Fishman.
Entering the home stretch of the 2023 Eastern League season, this is the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast with Eli Fishman. I'm Steven Cusumano, and the winning ways have continued here in Somerset County. The Somerset Patriots, winners in the first half. They're going to play playoff baseball here at TD Bank Ballpark when we get to September. But Eli, as we enter the month of August, Patriots have continued their winning ways. One of the top pitching staffs in all of minor league baseball for another month in July, coming out of the All-Star break. One of the hottest teams in the Eastern League. Couple of shutouts last week when the Patriots hosted the Bowie Bay Sox. And just everything has been clicking pretty much on all cylinders at this point.
Absolutely. You look at the offensive side, the pitching side, defensive. Everything has been clicking for this Patriots team as of late. That's been evident with some of their huge wins against dominant teams like the Sea Dogs, like the Bay Sox, like the Reading Fightin' Phils. And we've seen so many great performances at TD Bank Ballpark. The bullpen has been one aspect that has really stood out since the beginning of June. A top five bullpen in all of minor league baseball. The starters have been on as well. And as promotions have come, the offense has begun to heat up as well. We've seen some guys go up to AAA, down from AAA, up from Hudson Valley. And no matter what, with promotions, with guys leaving, this team has been clicking throughout the course of the season, and they've stayed hot throughout the course of the year, especially in the home run department. And that's been one of the main identities of this team, a team that likes to hit the ball over the fence. And when they hit 2+ home runs this year, 34-6 this season. And it's just been such a fun team to watch with the electricity that every aspect of this team brings.
And you think about some of the storylines entering July. Of course, it was the excellence of two guys who actually joined Somerset this time last year. Austin Wells, Everson Pereira, both promoted to AA July of 2022. Spent almost a full calendar year here with the Patriots. And as we enter August, the two of them have been called up, and it's been kind of a next man up mentality. Kind of talking first of all about the catching situation here. And again, that was a storyline, a hot one entering the All-Star break around the time of July. Austin Wells, one of five catchers on the Patriots roster coming out of the All-Star break. Yankees number two prospect, just a dominant season in every aspect last year, entering this year too, and really turning some heads. It was just a matter of time before he finally got the AAA call-up and had such a dominant run in the playoffs a season ago. I guess we can start there because there's now, even with the departure of Wells, there's four catchers on the Patriots roster that we're going to talk a little bit about. But Wellsy is just a congratulations, a really well-deserved call-up, and continuing to do Austin Wells type of things in AAA.
He's been dominating AAA so far, as expected, after quite a tenure in Somerset. Since joining the Patriots on July 5th, 2022, 109 hits, 23 home runs, 93 RBIs in 113 games played, and those 93 RBIs are the most in the Eastern League over that time. Wells straight up dominated AA pitching throughout his entire tenure. There were even talks about him starting the year in AAA, and it was just a matter of time before the promotion came. But the development we've seen so far in his career, and especially over that year in Somerset, was so much fun to see firsthand. The ways that he developed off the field in the leadership category, the ways he developed as a catcher managing the pitching staff. One of the big stories of his career has been his catching and his defense, as there were some questions about his abilities behind the plate throughout the course of his career, and he's working to improve that. And he's done that alongside Aaron Bossy, the defensive coach here for Somerset, over the past two seasons. And Wells credits Bossy for so many of the things that he's improved on, solidifying himself behind the plate as a catcher. So that's been so much fun to see firsthand, as well as that leadership aspect that we mentioned. People are going to scroll through the stats. You can look at so many things online and watching from afar, but what you can't see are the leadership qualities that Austin Wells brings to a franchise, and those are unmatched as well. So much fun to see. Obviously catching the no-hitter as well to clinch the 2022 Eastern League Championship for the Patriots. By the way, he hit .318 with 8 RBIs in the postseason. He's been such a leader of the team over the past 2 years, and this is actually the first time over the past two seasons that there has not been either an Anthony Volpe or an Austin Wells on this roster. Two true leaders, and guys are going to have to step up. We've seen some names popping up into the mix so far, but Wells had such a big impact on the Somerset clubhouse.
Hey, you talk about it. A 90-grade player, person, leader, just a guy that the Patriots are going to miss on and off the field, and certainly they, again, in his departure, they have not missed a beat. And part of the reason why is because you think about the other four catchers on this roster, three of them very familiar names. Anthony Siegler's been here all year, former Yankees first-round pick, as well as the second-round pick from that same draft, 2018. Josh Breaux making a return to Somerset. That's another one of the storylines. A few guys returning from AAA that made their way there by either the end of last year or start of this year. Josh Breaux in the catching mix, as well as Mickey Gasper, a guy that's been able to prove his versatility, not just behind the plate, but as a guy that's stepped in and gotten a lot of playing time at first and second base. But really, the week that Wells got called up, kind of opening the door for that promotion, was the call-up of Ben Rice, a guy who started the season with 25 games, 15 in High A Hudson Valley and 10 in Single A Tampa. And that was with about a month and a half worth of a lower back injury that sidelined Rice. But in 25 games this year, he was outstanding enough in his limited time at the lower levels of the Yankee system that they were comfortable with coming out of his rehab assignment in Tampa, promoting him directly to Somerset, coming out of the All-Star break, and Wells, with his promotion, Rice slotting into a lot of the catching time. And Ben Rice did not miss a beat. Upon being called up to the Patriots, went 10 for his first 20 in his first five AA games, and over his first week, seven games in AA, four home runs, 12 RBIs, seven runs scored, a guy that has an OPS above 1,200 in his first week and a half at AA, just doing things that a guy that of his stature really shouldn't be doing, a 12th-round pick from 2021 out of Dartmouth, kind of looking like a hidden gem and a steal at this point from the 2021 draft. A Massachusetts native, Rice, one of four catchers on this roster. But again, you look at what he's done this year in such limited time, as of the time recording this, just barely 30 games, and he has just put up some dominant numbers. A guy that's not ranked by a lot of the prospect ranking leaderboards by a lot of publications, but I think that's going to change here pretty soon.
He is not ranked by a single publication. He has never been. Always been an under-the-radar guy, and what he has done this season is, simply put, absurd. To get a promotion from low A after a rehab assignment up to double A, which is very similar to what Austin Wells did last year, is not normal, especially in the Yankee system, who are honestly known as a little bit more of a conservative organization in terms of promoting players. You really have to prove yourself at the lower levels, and Rice did that, but in a very limited sample size, and the Yankees with enough confidence to bring him here to Somerset, being challenged by double-A pitching. But he has reached base in every single game since his double-A promotion, hitting four homers, 379 over that span, absolutely on fire, and such a great story. Under the radar, a 12th-round pick a couple of years ago, and he only played 30 games in college at Dartmouth. He hit 242 over 23 games in the 2019 season, only seven games in 2020 before the shutdown. In the Ivy League, they didn't play in 2020 or 2021, so he pretty much missed his last two college seasons. Rice got no exposure throughout the last 2 years of his college career because he did not play his last two seasons in college at Dartmouth in the Ivy League. So what did he do? He gave himself exposure, going to play in the Futures Collegiate League in 2020, one of the only college leagues that played. And then in 2021, he kind of made his own league, going around and playing with fellow Ivy League players in front of scouts, organizing their own showcases, scrimmages, things of that sort, going to the Cape Cod League where he mashed as well and turned himself into a legit draft prospect. And the Yankees found a diamond in the rough. Rice has been so impressive in every single aspect. Another aspect, we talk about the Patriots roster that currently consists of four catchers. We've seen five catchers on the roster at times, and that's Rice's ability at first base as well. With all this catching depth in the organization, Rice, one of the reasons he's stuck out as one of those diamonds in the rough is his ability to play first base. Playing first base for the first time with Somerset on Thursday in the eighth overall time this year. He was solely a catcher throughout his college years, but said as soon as he came to the Yankees organization, started working a lot at first base, and he's done a great job both behind the plate but also at first base, and what he does with the bat is undeniable.
I mean, you hit it all right on the head. He's done nothing but produce since coming to AA Somerset. We were able to catch up with Ben Rice earlier this week, talked a lot about the emotions of getting that AA call-up after only 25 games in the lower levels and overcoming the injury from earlier this year. Said his season's kind of just getting going now during the month of July, and he discussed how things have gotten off to such a great start for him. Here's what Ben Rice had to say earlier in the week.
I was so excited. You know, I was hoping to get up here by the end of this season. That was a goal I set for myself, and obviously the injury, you know, kind of put a dent in that a little bit, it's awesome, man. We got so many great guys in this locker room. Some guys who I was drafted with, other guys who have been around for a little bit longer, have a little bit more of a veteran feel to it. So it's just really cool. It's a really fun group. I think the thing that helps me the most is my bat to ball skills. I make a lot of contact, don't swing and miss very much. That's the biggest thing with me. So I know that if I'm smart during my at-bats and work the counts, that I'll get a pitch to hit eventually and I'll be able to put a barrel on it. I'd say there's always something to get better at. Obviously, people would probably tab me as an offensive catcher. There's still room to grow offensively in like pretty much every aspect, I'd say. There's always room to grow. And then as a catcher, I mean, I think I can get better at everything as well. You know, there's really nothing that I would say I can't get better at right now. So a lot of room to improve.
Well, we have well documented the catching position and how productive it's been for the Patriots between primarily Austin Wells, Ben Rice, but also Bro, Gasper, Siegler, and the versatility that all those guys bring. But we cannot overstate how impressive this outfield has been for the Somerset Patriots all year. We saw a mainstay in Somerset in Brandon Lockridge get promoted earlier this season, and then the second outfielder to be promoted this year, very well deserved, Everson Pereira, after dominating in basically every game he played for Somerset. Spent some time here last year, again, getting the July promotion, played 29 games here, an 845 OPS to end 2022. And then starting 2023, Everson worked around an injury but still played 46 games, a 907 OPS, 10 homers with the Patriots prior to a Triple-A call-up. It seemed like every time he swung the bat, he ended up making contact with the ball, and it was over 110 miles per hour. So those were numbers that indicated he was ready for a Triple-A call-up, and there had to be some kind of move to be made because it was a stacked outfield in AAA. You think about the likes of Estevan Florial having a career season up there in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre this year. And then Elijah Dunham, a former Eastern League All-Star from a season ago, a guy that was a mainstay in the Patriots outfield, playing 110 games for Somerset last year. He ended up actually swapping positions with Everson Pereira upon the call-up for Everson in early July. Elijah Dunham, a lot of success here in Somerset coming out of last season. He gets sent back to Somerset, and he's picked up exactly where he left off. Entering August, still hitting above 300, five homers in a Patriots uniform this year, but got to start with Everson Pereira. I mean, he has just, again, dominated Double-A, but he's looked even better since getting the Triple-A call-up. Entering August with an OPS over 1,000, five homers. I mean, he has looked like a guy that, when he was here in Somerset, was ready for a call-up, was overmatched for Double-A pitching, and he's looked, again, even better since being called up to AAA.
And, Steven, you said it. Everson Pereira is the kind of ball player where the ball sounds different coming off of his bat. When he puts a barrel on it, it's not coming back. It's been so much fun to see the way Everson Pereira has played and the way he's developed as a prospect, only playing in less than 100 games at the time of his AA promotion. So it's been so much fun to see. Only 22 years old in AAA, tearing the cover off in AAA. He's reached base in all but one of his AAA games as we speak, hitting .347 with the Rail Riders. There are people asking him to be up at the big league level on social media, calling for his name, taking the left field position. He can play all three outfield positions. One of the best defensive outfielders you'll see. Speed on the bases, and of course, what he can do with the bat is absolutely unmatched. It's been so much fun to see, especially his development in Somerset. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, but it was one swing change that happened here that kind of had him take off and had him be one of the top prospects in baseball. It was actually in Bowie last season, and Pereira made one little swing adjustment. He was working with Jake Hurst, as well as Yankees hitting coordinator Joe Migliaccio, who we're going to hear from later in this interview. Had a little bit of a tendency to drift his hands a little bit back towards the ear and then come straight down, almost like chopping on wood, lowering his hands. And that obviously led to an increased ground ball rate as he was pushing his hands through the zone. And then Migliaccio and Hurst noticed that tendency. They didn't implement any mechanical changes, but they sat down with Pereira. They asked who his favorite big leaguer was. Who did Everson Pereira say? Mike Trout. So they watched some Mike Trout swings, and they asked Pereira to notice some differences. And Pereira immediately found one specific difference, and that was what Migliaccio and Hurst noticed, which was his hands. And it was the first game after they discussed that. After they discussed that difference and Pereira started making some swing changes, well, Everson Pereira hit two homers against Bowie in Bowie in his first game. And that's the kind of player Everson Pereira is. Already so much talent for a 21-year-old to make a mechanical change like that, hit two homers the first game, coincidence or not, is so special. And the adjustments that you can make at his age are going to take him a long way, and we're going to see him in a big league uniform at some point very soon and for a long time.
And it's funny to think he was a top prospect before that change happened, and as you mentioned, looking at tape from one of the best hitters of all time and his favorite hitter in the game right now, Mike Trout, is kind of what transcended him even furthermore to dominate at the Double-A level and now the Triple-A level. And there's been obviously a lot of talk about the Yankees' top prospect, Jason Dominguez, who, by the way, is having a great month of July. But Everson Pereira, a guy that is a couple years older, a couple years later on in his progression, and he's already on the 40-man roster too. So there's no reason why we couldn't potentially see an Everson Pereira major league call-up in the near future, especially if he continues to dominate in AAA the way he has so far in his first month at that level of play. Talked about the conversation with Joe Migliaccio, though. He is the Yankees' minor league hitting coordinator. He was also the Somerset Patriots hitting coach in 2021, a year when they set a new Double-A franchise record in home runs. So if that name sounds familiar, that is why. Joe Migliaccio, a mainstay here in Somerset for a little bit, and he has made his rounds here over the past couple of seasons, 2022 and 2023. And we were lucky enough to catch up with the Patriots' former hitting coach and now Yankees minor league hitting coordinator. Here is that conversation between myself, Steven, Eli, and the Yankees minor league hitting coordinator, Joe Migliaccio. Back on the Patriots and Pinstripes podcast, Joe Migliaccio, Patriots' former hitting coach and current Yankees hitting coordinator, joins us here with the Somerset Patriots. Joe, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Yeah, of course. Anytime, guys.
Well, it's been a really successful few seasons, but especially this year, about 200 more home runs than any other minor league organization right now with the Yankees, creeping up on 500 home runs now. So what are your overall impressions on just the success from this season so far, and kind of how do you sustain that?
Yeah, I guess from a 30,000-foot view, looking at everything that's happened from Triple A down to A ball in Tampa, it's been a relatively successful season thus far for a lot of our players. We've been extremely happy with the progressions that have been made. I think in terms of player development, we tend to look at how our guys getting better week to week, month to month, first half to second half, as they get promoted. How are those trends looking? So sometimes looking at it as a whole, it's exciting, but when you break it down to how guys are actually getting better in the season, we take a lot of pride in in-season development, so it's been great to look at it from both lenses.
And such a long season, how do you kind of zone in on those individual, progressions from one guy to the next, and going from team to team, how do you kind of just separate everything from one another and help everyone grow individually?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with that is all of our players have specific objectives that they're working on. Everybody's a little different, but we just want to make sure that the players that have strengths, they maintain those strengths, and the lesser strengths that they have, we hope to increase those. So players get updated on a weekly basis. We have in-depth meetings closer to bi-weekly basis or maybe once a month. So we're constantly providing them with information. Some guys want more, some guys want a little bit less. But at the end of the day, I think when you as a player have something to work towards, when you look at the whole season, it might be overwhelming in terms of 140 games or 150 games, et cetera. But when you can break it down into the areas that you need to get better in, you can look at those trends. You can look at the work that you're doing in the cage and seeing, okay, this is transferring into the game or it's not transferring into the game. We need to adjust this action plan. So that's typically how we go about the season.
We want to dive into a couple specific players, but first, everyone always obviously wants to know about the top dogs, the top prospects, and the top names, but we've seen so many under-the-radar names pop up this year and over the last couple of years. You even look at last night, all five runs were accounted for RBI and run-wise by the bottom three in the order, and Burt, Gasper, and Rosario. Just overall in the Yankee system, especially at the upper levels, guys who we may see in the future as well, who are some under-the-radar guys that pop into your head?
Yeah, it's such a great question, and I think as a hitting coordinator, I'd love to just rattle off like 30 names
ahead,
for you guys.
But
some people that come to mind are, we have a hitter in Hudson Valley named Augustine Ramirez that he is the combination of everything that you want in a hitter. He makes a lot of contact. He has probably 70 grade raw power. He makes really good swing decisions. Off the top of my head, when he was in Tampa before he got promoted, I want to say he walked more than he struck out. If not, it was really close. So he's had the transition to Hudson Valley, and in the short sample size, he's continued to perform there. So from a hitting standpoint, a really, really exciting hitter that's going to be a bopper for years to come for us. Some other guys that come to mind down in Tampa, another young player, we've got a guy named Jared Cerna, who's an infielder. Off the top of my head, again, makes like 90% contact in the zone, which you would probably consider elite. And with that contact, he's also got 18 or 19 home runs on the season. So just a really exciting athletic player that's putting up some really, really impressive numbers. I guess if we go even a little bit lower to the complex league and the FCL, we've got some really exciting young players there. Guys from maybe not under the radar, but obviously Roderick Arias is there. And then we can talk about guys like Willie Montero, Kaner Delgado, and Manuel Tejeda. All those guys, at the lower levels, we're trying to build the foundation of contact and swing decisions, because we know that power is going to come in time. I also think that we speed up power with the way that we train and how we teach swing mechanics, but they've built that foundation, and now we're starting to see the contact quality side come out more for those guys. So some really exciting young players that will probably, you'll probably hear their name for a while.
And you talk about some of those guys that even are in Tampa and Hudson Valley. Thinking about Augustine Ramirez and even a guy like Christopher Familia coming up from Tampa, it seems like there's been little to no adjustment period. Like, they come up from Tampa, they've homered in like three straight games, I think, as we sit right now. How much of a difference is there making that jump from Tampa to Hudson Valley versus maybe from Hudson Valley to Somerset?
Yeah, it's a great question. In terms of looking at the quality of pitching that players see, the biggest jumps are coming from the complex to the full season affiliate, the Tarpons, and then the other biggest jump will come from AAA to the big leagues. That's not to say that the jumps from Tampa to Hudson Valley to Somerset to Scranton aren't sizable. You start getting location becomes much better in AAA than in AA. But AA pitchers, believe it or not, have better stuff. So from a training aspect, the jump from the complex to Tampa is huge. But how we're trying to prepare guys, I think we're closing the gap with how long it takes them to adjust to that. So it's like, for example, we're not trying to, I know there's the ABS in Tampa, but it's not Hudson Valley. We're not trying to dominate the umpire zone in Hudson Valley. We want to dominate the major league strike zone. And that way, when guys move up levels, they don't have to recorrect their strike zone awareness. They know what a strike is in the big leagues, and sometimes they just get bad calls. It is what it is, but we know that over the course of a long season, those very few calls that are frustrating at the time, it's going to really pay off for the zone knowledge that the player has as he continues to move up levels and as he continues to face better pitching. So our training, I feel like, is a vital component to how those guys are able to transition from a lower level to the next level in front of them.
And when you see the success of guys who we have recently seen in Somerset, like Everson Pereira and Austin Wells, I mean, Pereira's reached base in every single game since he got up to the AAA level. I guess, how satisfying is it to see the success of those guys, Austin Wells as well, when they're able to move up levels and still have that same success?
Yeah, obviously you're super excited for the player because you feel like they're in a place where they can move up another level and continue to have success without having to take a big step back and then having to recorrect some things. So with those two guys specifically, you know, Austin spent probably a little bit more than half the season here last year, got hurt here early in the season this year, and then started in Somerset for maybe less than another half of the season. But what he was able to do in Somerset this second time around compared to the first time around, the numbers were so much better the second time. And that's ideally what you want to see from players that not necessarily are repeating levels, but if they do spend time at the same affiliate another year, you're hoping that they've made some really good improvements, and that's what we saw from Austin. We anticipate that success continuing in Scranton.
I want to talk about a guy, too, that leads the whole organization in home runs, Tyler Hardman. He's had two Player of the Week honors this month alone in July. New career high in homers in 24, but a guy that we were talking to him a couple of weeks ago. He wants to kind of zone in on being a complete player, not just a guy that's going to sell out for power. What have you seen out of his progression in obviously spending a majority of last year in Hudson Valley, and how important maybe do you think the end of last year was in getting the call up to Somerset and kind of seeing a week or two of that double-A pitching and preparing him for this year?
Yeah, so if we rewind to last year when Tyler got sent up to Somerset from Hudson Valley, obviously a higher level, so the pitching is a little bit better and kind of got exposed a little bit. The swing path got a little bit exposed in terms of the pitches that he was able to handle and not handle. And kind of like a double-edged sword, like a great promotion, but also, hey, maybe some things that were working in Hudson Valley and you had great success aren't necessarily going to continue to work as well as you move up level. So him kind of going through that little struggle with his time in Somerset allowed us to really push hard during his off-season training. He's made some really good swing enhancements that obviously has put him in a place this year to have quite the season. So I think looking back on it, that great season in Hudson Valley he had, followed by maybe like that slight frustration in Somerset of I'm not performing like I should, just allowed us to kind of speed up that development and make some of those changes versus coming into spring training, thinking it's figured out, and then struggling and having to make bigger changes during the season.
And even Jason, too, I'm thinking about what he did at the end of last year was kind of like the opposite. How do you kind of describe the fact, you know, he was able to come into Somerset, have I think four home runs in the playoffs and have that kind of unbelievable success in the championship series. And then came out at the beginning of this year, struggled a little bit, but was still getting on base, taking a lot of walks. And now we've started to see him swing the bat a lot more in July, and he's getting on base a ton as of recently, hitting above 300 this month. What have you seen out of his progression coming from, obviously, Tampa, then to Hudson Valley, and now spending all of this year so far in Somerset?
Yeah, so year over year from Tampa to Hudson Valley and now to Somerset, we've seen really good enhancements with Jason across the board. I think what maybe was a little unfair to Jason and maybe a little unfair to the fan base was that small sample he had here in Somerset was so off the charts that it was probably unsustainable.
Yeah.
So, you know, as great as it was, like when you look into what he's doing this year, maybe some of the scoreboard numbers don't pop out to you like, oh, this is the next Mickey Mantle. But when you look at some of the underlying numbers, he's doing an incredible job for his age at this level. He's getting on base at a great rate. His ability to swing in the strike zone and not chase out of the strike zone in all counts is truly 90th percentile. So he is dominating a lot of those foundational metrics that we really care about in terms of how they scale as he keeps moving up. And not to use his age as a cop-out, because I don't think he would ever do this either. But I don't think he's saying, like, oh, I'm only 20 years old. Like, please give me some time. He clearly wants to have all the success in the world, and so do we for him. But sometimes you go through some of those up and downs during the season. But what's been extremely impressive from him is how he goes about his work behind the scenes that fans and scouts and maybe front offices with other organizations or internally, they don't really see that as much with how he prepares on a daily basis. So he does an incredible job preparing for the opposing pitcher. He does an incredible job preparing his swing for that day. And I've got all the confidence in the world that he's going to continue succeeding.
Someone that has had a very successful adjustment period over the last week has been Ben Rice, who has 7 homers in 30 games this season, hit 3 homers in his first 4 games in Somerset. I mean, tearing the cover off the ball, and another, you know, under the radar kind of guy that doesn't get a ton of recognition. What have you seen from him and his development now in his third season with the organization?
Yeah, I think it's obviously very exciting. I would even go to the end of saying he's probably one of the top 10 to 12 hitters in our organization. When you think about what the best hitters across baseball do, they make a lot of contact, they hit the ball hard, and they hit it over the infielder's head. And Ben Rice checks all 3 of those boxes. So his time in Hudson Valley got hurt, so then missed quite a bit of time. Now he's ramping back up here in Somerset, but in Hudson Valley had unbelievable contact rates, was hitting the ball extremely hard. And if we kind of back rewind a little bit, when he played at Dartmouth, they obviously lost their season with COVID, and he did not come into the Yankees organization with, you know, hundreds of plate appearances in college. So there was this transition of pro ball is a little bit different than the Ivy League, and seeing his adjustments to pro ball and how quick he was able to make those adjustments is really, really exciting.
So when you think about a guy, he played 15 games in Hudson Valley, rehabbed with 10 in Tampa. Was there even, with his success, a thought of sending him back to Hudson Valley, or was it a pretty easy decision at that point to say he's ready for double-A pitching?
Yeah, I think looking back before he had that injury, there were internal discussions about we should think about moving this guy up to double-A. And obviously, unfortunately, he had that injury, so we never got to see if that was coming sooner or later. But when you perform like he was performing, or when any player performs how Ben Rice performed in Hudson Valley, your name's going to be in the discussion to be moved up.
One guy that's obviously the opposite of under the radar, but made some waves in spring training this year and was on the big league roster, Anthony Volpe. How much pride do you guys take in just seeing a guy that was drafted in the first round, developed so perfectly over those several years, and played a lot of last year in Somerset, and then got really only a handful of games to end the year in AAA, and just to see the way he adapted to the big league level? What have you seen out of his progression, I guess, maybe over the last calendar year, that's made him such a productive big leaguer to this point?
Yeah. Anytime you get a homegrown guy that can push their way up to New York, it's obviously really exciting for, you know, player development and scouting with the fact that we were able to bring this guy in, and his talents are off the charts. His ability to train and perform and execute are second to none. So seeing him, you know, roughly have 100 plate appearances in AAA, but then be in the big leagues the following year, and to see how he is performing, where maybe the scoreboard numbers don't like pan out to the average fan, the jump from AAA to the big leagues is ginormous. So what he's doing really well is controlling the strike zone. When he's making contact, which is a lot, he is hitting it hard. He has been unlucky since he's been up there. But just the work that the guy puts in on a daily basis, it's extremely impressive. It surprises nobody that he made the team out of spring training. It surprises nobody that he's having the success that he's having from a defensive side, from a base running side, and from a hitting side. And to think about how he's going to keep getting better over the course of the season and then into next year when he's got a full season under his belt. Obviously extremely excited about what the future looks like for Anthony.
Somerset's first year as a Yankees affiliate, you were the hitting coach in 2021. Such a talented team. I mean, you've got guys like Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswald Peraza, guys with other organizations that are having so much success. When you reflect back on that year, what do you think of in your time in Somerset, and also just how satisfying is it to see the success of the guys who you mentored in that first season up at the big league level having success?
Yeah, the 2021 season, with it being our first here in Somerset, I don't know that it could have gone any better. Between the staff here in Somerset, between the fan base, between the talented players that we had, it was such an exciting year from just an enjoyable perspective, but also players getting better and performing and moving up to AAA in the big leagues, whether it's with the Yankees or whether it's with another organization. And like I mentioned about Volpe, you know, if we have homegrown guys that can push their way up to New York and they can help us win a World Series, that we love that. We want that. But if we can help enhance players' abilities and get them to the big leagues with other teams, like, we're still incredibly proud and happy for them, whether it's a trade and we get a piece back. Our goal is to help these guys get to the big leagues as fast as possible and stick in the big leagues for as long as they can. So I think I – Just from time, I got really lucky with the players that were in AA that year. Some years you get really, really lucky, and I just happened to get really, really lucky with a lot of those players that were big leaguers all over the field from the hitting side, but also the pitching side. So there was no pressure to score 10 runs a game because our pitching coach, Daniel Moskos, at the time, that's with the Cubs now, the staff that he had just dominated. So if we could just score a couple runs, we were going to win the ball game. But because of how talented the hitters we had, we set a franchise record for home runs that year. And then the following year, which would have been last year, the Somerset Patriots beat that record, which Jake Hurst reminds me almost every trip here. So,
yeah, we were just looking back on that roster. We couldn't believe how many future big leaguers were on it even to this point, but even guys that are still going to debut from this point on. And thinking from the transition you've made to now being the Yankees minor league hitting coordinator, we've gotten a chance, obviously, to know last year's manager, Dan Fiorito, really well, and I've talked a lot with him about his transition from going full-time to the roving infield-outfield instructor and one of the hitting coordinators, too. What was that transition like for you coming out of the 2021 season? And obviously, there was still a little bit of COVID restrictions going on at that point, but now having a full year in this role under your belt and just kind of getting a chance to sink your teeth into it, what's that been like?
Yeah, I think for the last couple of years, having a boss in Dylan Lawson, just being able to pick his brain and talk through different situations and how you know a situation was handled or how it could have been handled differently or different options. I think when you spend so much time around really good people, like our entire hitting department, we have an incredible department from top to bottom. We have future coordinators, we have future big league coaches throughout the whole department. So because of how good our people are, I think the transition was so much more easy and smooth than maybe becoming a coordinator with a different organization at the time. And now looking into this job a second year, I think you obviously have a year under your belt. You're more comfortable. You understand how things work a little bit better. And I think the biggest difference is when you're an affiliate coach, you're coaching the players. You're coaching the 13 to 15 players you have on your affiliate team. But as a coordinator, I'm essentially responsible for making sure that our processes are in place and they're being executed to the best of the ability. And it comes down to, you know, coaching our coaches, giving them feedback, if it's positive feedback, if it's constructive feedback, to help them be the best versions of themselves possible. So, you know, all of our coaches, I don't think if you asked anyone, would want to say, I want to be at this level for the next 12 years. So it's my job to help them in any of those low-hanging fruit areas that I can to help them get that next job.
Do you enjoy the lifestyle aspect of it as well? You know, being able to bounce around, you're not necessarily staying in one place, but you get to travel around, see all the affiliates, and I'm guessing you're racking up a lot of hotel and flight miles as well.
Yeah, definitely racking up the hotel and flight miles. I think what's really cool about this job is, you know, for any given week, I could go from AAA or AA this week and then go down to the Dominican Republic and see how different players are in terms of strength or preparation and where they need to get better and what that foundation looks like for, okay, this is where we're looking to target with this age player. This is how we're looking to target this age player. You know, what does this player in AAA need to do to make sure he can stick in the big leagues versus what does this player at the complex need to do to get out of the complex? So it's really cool seeing the difference in talent. It's also good for me to be able to relay that message. Sometimes it's a difficult message, but sometimes guys think they're ready for the next level, but they're really not. And to be able to break down their information with them, to break down how they're performing, what they need to get better at, that way they don't go up to that next level and just completely fail and feel like they're not prepared. So it's extremely fun. It's fulfilling. And again, I couldn't do any of this without the staff that we have at all of our levels.
Well, it's been really fun to watch from our seat too. Again, nearly 200 more home runs than almost any other big league organization during the full season affiliates. So it's been fun to watch from here. Thank you so much for the time, and best of luck with hopefully sustained success for this year and beyond.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
Such a great conversation with Joe Migliaccio. Again, the Yankees minor league hitting coordinator. We thank him so much for his time after a visit here in Somerset over the week. And just so interesting to hear about not only the individual success of certain players, but I'm just impressed at the organization-wide success to have that many home runs in comparison to some other big league organizations from top to bottom as far as the full season affiliates go. But on an individual aspect, we discussed a little bit right before the interview, in fact, about the month of July that Jason Dominguez had, a guy that has had obviously lofty expectations all year, and that's something that Joe even pinpointed coming into the season after just the dominant postseason he had last year with the 10 RBIs in the playoffs and 5 home runs coming down the stretch there for the Patriots. Tough expectations to live up to, but Dominguez getting on base all year, and as we've started to see him swing the bat more often here during the month of July, it has made way for some pretty big results, and a guy that obviously is nicknamed the Martian for very good reason. Dominguez enters the month of August with the batting average as high as it's been all year, and he's starting to really turn some heads as we head towards the home stretch of the season.
Finished the month of July hitting almost .320, and he just had a great month overall, really clicking on all cylinders. And you look at a guy overall this season, 65 runs as we speak, which leads the Eastern League, also leads the Eastern League in walks and is top 5 in stolen bases. So you're talking about all aspects of a player that are clicking on all cylinders, 10 stolen bases in the month of July with a few homers as well. And Dominguez, you talk about the expectations, because that's something we talk a lot about on the broadcast for anyone who is a consistent listener. We're talking about a guy at 16. There was an article written about him in ESPN comparing him to Mickey Mantle and Mike Trout. So immediately starting with that, hundreds of thousands of followers on social media, the expectations are going to be sky high. And then you look at a guy that homered 4 times in the Eastern League playoffs last year, got off to an insane start, which would have been impossible to keep up in his first full Double-A season, got off to a little bit of a slow start, but he has been getting on pace, he's been scoring runs, he's been putting the ball out of the ballpark, and it's been so much fun to see Dominguez. And he's had, you know, sprints of it throughout the course of the year, but still looking to finish that marathon strong. And we've been saying all year, it's almost a matter of time before Dominguez truly breaks out. I think we're starting to see really the beginning of it after a great month of July, and it's just going to be all about consistency moving forward for Dominguez. And as Joe Migliaccio said, it's for him really about keeping it up, but also about being able to make adjustments. And he is only 20 years old at AA, and Migliaccio said, do not use that as a cop-out because of how talented he is. To be in AA at 19 and then obviously a full season in AA at 20 years old, to make the swing adjustments and learn the pitching as you go along, facing guys that are 24, 25 years of minor league, big league experience, top prospects. He's just getting his feet wet, truly only less than 200 games into his professional career. He needs time to develop. He's going to have it here in Somerset, and he has flourished in the last month.
That he has, and it's not just been the bats, it's not just been Dominguez. Really, this entire team has flourished over the last month, specifically in July, coming out of the All-Star break, 3 straight series wins, but the backbone of this team over the month of July, which ranks top 3 in all of minor league baseball in strikeouts coming out of July, has been the pitching staff, and it's hard to believe it's taken this long to start discussing it, but let's dig into it. Grayson Crawford's staff tops in all of AA in ERA, strikeouts, whip, batting average against, and they've given up the fewest home runs of any team in the Eastern League. So it's been a clinic to see it transition from the starting pitching staff, guys like Chase Hampton, Yoendris Gomez, Matt Sauer, Blaine Abeyta, Richard Fitz, who leads all minor leaguers in innings pitched and ranks top five in strikeouts as well. Guys like Danny Watson, Edgar Barclay, Ryan Anderson getting comfortable at the double-A level. It has resulted in some eye-popping numbers for Grayson Crawford's pitching staff, which during the month of July, it feels like they struck out double-digit batters almost every single game this month. It has been such an impressive sight to see. The fact we just talked for, a half hour, 45 minutes about the hitting of this team, but we haven't even scratched the surface on the pitching and how dominant every individual guy on this team has been. It's been pretty much a clinic to see the way that this pitching staff, led by Grayson Crawford, has gone about its business in the Eastern League.
And you wonder why the Patriots have the top record in the Eastern League. That's exactly why. The fact that we're getting into the pitching so late and how dominant they've been. One of the best pitching staffs in all of minor league baseball. We knew the starting rotation was going to be dominant at the beginning of the year. I mean, you look at a rotation that started the year with Richard Fitz, Clayton Beter, Will Warren, Yoendris Gomez coming not long after being activated from the IL. You knew that was going to be dominant. But what's been so amazing is to see the breakout years of guys at the lower level, such as a guy like Chase Hampton, who, when Will Warren and Clayton Beter were eventually promoted to AAA, which was only a matter of time, a guy like Chase Hampton came up from high A breakout star this year after being drafted only last year, making his professional debut this year, 9 starts into his pro career. Hampton came up to AA, and he has been so dominant, so fun to watch, continuing that great rotation, and not just the rotation, but the bullpen as well, as you mentioned. One of the big questions coming into this year was the bullpen. Over the first couple of weeks of the season, a couple of blown saves and honestly some inconsistency, we wondered what the true identity was going to be of the bullpen throughout the course of the year, and it has turned into straight dominance. Barclay, Watson, Anderson, a couple of the names you mentioned, Jesus Lorenzo, Lisandro Santos, a couple of breakout stars as well. It has been so much fun to see. Patriots bullpen since June 1st is the second best in minor league baseball. The first is the High A Hudson Valley Renegades, High A affiliate of the New York Yankees. So that says so much about the pitching depth in the Yankee system. And even when you have guys like Zach Houston go up to AAA, Josh Macieski going up to AAA, you're still going to have guys come from High A and absolutely shove. Barclay is one of the first names I want to jump into because he has been maybe the most dominant bullpen pitcher I have ever seen in terms of just the pure stuff and making an at-bat look uncomfy. He has 31 strikeouts in 21 innings to end the month of July. He did not allow a run over his first 7 appearances in Somerset, and that is even after he started the season on the IL. We talked to Grayson Crawford a couple episodes ago, and Crawford said that Barclay likely would have been in the starting rotation if he hadn't gotten hurt during spring training, and then that was a minor injury that shut him down, and he was able to develop, get the pitch count up, came to Somerset fresh. He had an immaculate inning thrown in there, and he has been so much fun to watch, as we've compared him to Nestor Cortes, who made a pair of rehab starts for Somerset over the past week as well. And you want to talk about an uncomfy at bat? How about Danny Watson, who's listed on the Patriots roster at 6'7", 235, gets an insane amount of extension, Greg Weissert-like slider extending all the way out, and he went on a streak of 18 appearances without allowing an earned run. A 1.40 ERA this season as we speak. That's between High A and Double A. Just a couple of breakout stars in the bullpen. Then you had another lefty like Ryan Anderson, 6'6", 205. Want to talk about a big southpaw? He hasn't allowed a run over his first 10 and a third innings in his first 7 AA outings after a call-up coming on June 23rd. And as the promotions have come, the reinforcements has come, and this bullpen has been one of the best in all of minor league baseball throughout the course of the season. And as I mentioned, with Hudson Valley being number one, it's just going to keep getting better. Bailey Dees promoted this week as well, and I think we're going to see a few more names being added into the mix quite soon.
That's part of the excitement, and I think that's why the Patriots have been able to sustain so much success this year, is because obviously you had those great names on the offensive side, the likes of Austin Wells, Everson Pereira, who started the season in Somerset, but then even on the pitching side, the likes of guys like Will Warren, Clayton Beter, who started in the Patriots rotation, and then a couple of relievers that you even mentioned by name that started here. They're now in AAA. I think that's part of what makes this team so exciting, is that you see the success happening in Hudson Valley, the High A affiliate by the Yankees, which, by the way, also won the first half. As more guys get promoted here from Somerset, AA to AAA, we're going to be getting those guys that won the first half in Hudson Valley here in Somerset, and we're already starting to see the Patriots reaping the benefits of that with the likes of, like you mentioned, Bailey Dees, Ryan Anderson, Danny Watson, Edgar Barclay. It's been very exciting to see, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. That's just kind of on the reliever side of things, but you want to talk about the starting rotation, which has been one of the most consistent and best in all the minor leagues this year, mentioning, of course, the promotions of Will Warren, Clayton Beter, a couple of the Yankees' top prospects. Well, as reinforcements, you get a guy like Chase Hampton, who at the time of his call-up was leading all minor leaguers in strikeouts and still is a top five in all of minor league baseball in that category entering the month of August in his first pro season. You get a guy like Yoenndris Gomez healthy, and then you've had those staples in your rotation, the guys like Blaine Abeyta, but specifically I want to touch on Richard Fitz, who has been one of the most consistent pitchers in all of minor league baseball over the last 12 starts, which dates back to a span that started May 24th. He has posted a 2.70 ERA. That is tops in all of minor league baseball in that span. And this year, Richard Fitz, over 19 starts, most in all of AA, 11 quality starts. That ties him with one other pitcher for the most in all of minor league baseball. It has been quite a sight to see for Fitz, who, in his last start in the month of August, matched a career-best 10 strikeouts for the third time this season and getting to work, as we mentioned before, with a very close friend of his in Ben Rice, the two of them who worked together extensively in single-A Tampa last year. Well, who was his pitching coach? It was Grayson Crawford, and we had a chance to catch up with Richard Fitz earlier this week. He was able to also discuss with us the fact that knowing Grayson as well as he does has made it such an easy transition period, a great adjustment to AA, and it's made him really comfortable down the stretch here. And just looking at all the strikeouts he's posted, it's been the innings for me, the consistency of a guy that entering August, he has thrown more innings than any pitcher in all of minor league baseball. A bulldog, a workhorse, he's been every sense of those expressions, and just a guy that has really impressed, again, just in general this year, but especially since he's adjusted to AA to see what he's done day in and day out, posting that many quality starts. He has been the anchor of this really talented Patriots rotation.
And the consistency didn't necessarily start that way. Had some very rough outings at the beginning of the season. In his press conference, even talking about that outing on May 10th in Portland, where he went two innings, allowing four runs on five hits, allowing a pair of homers. And he said that was a real punch in the face. And that kind of led him to sit back, look at his repertoire, look at himself, and say, all right, I need really to improve and really to adjust and work harder than I did yesterday to continue to have success. And boy, has he had success, as you mentioned. And I mean, the consistency is such a big part of it. Quality start, 6-plus innings with 3 or less runs allowed. And to rack up 11 of those, with 9 of those coming since that outing in Portland, I mean, Richard Fitz has just been so much fun to watch. Came into the season getting the opening day nod only in his second full professional season, and he has really, really put on a show, especially with that fastball that has so much run and ride in the zone, the command, developing the slider. He's had his fastball up to 96, 97, another piece of this rotation that has been so much fun to watch, and a rotation that had the storylines of Clayton Beter and Will Warren in the rotation. Then it kind of came to Chase Hampton coming up in his first professional season. But it's been Richard Fitz throughout the year that has turned himself into the main attraction and the storyline of this rotation.
And it's been kind of funny to see. He talked about this with us earlier this week, too. The fact that you mentioned Will Warren, Clayton Beter starting here, kind of the elder statesmen, guys that had pitched a good amount of AA baseball towards the second half in playoffs last year. Well, with their promotion, Richard Fitz has kind of become the guy in this rotation in terms of the most experienced and the veteran, if you will, as he has more AA starts than any other guy in this rotation, and he's been able to kind of rub off on some of his teammates, and they've rubbed off on him too. But again, had a chance to catch up with Richard Fitz, who is the Yankees' number 8 prospect, earlier this week, and he discussed how he's been able to turn the corner and sustain this success that he has seen over the home stretch of the 2023 season.
Just kind of learning who I am, being more confident. You know, I've got good stuff and learning how to use that and, you know, attacking guys, not being passive up on the mound. I've been getting better this whole season. That's what my body feels like. I feel like I'm feeling better every week. I'm working harder than I thought I was, even though I was working as hard as I could yesterday, that kind of stuff. And I'm really excited for this team and just where I'm going as well, just as we move into the playoffs. I think just staying consistent, then working on kind of what the Yankees want me to do. I'm trying to add some more velocity, get a little bit better slider so I get better swing and miss. So really just get better at everything that I can and hopefully get the call.
That's great stuff from Richard Fitz. Again, one of the Yankees' top pitching prospects, and you're starting to see why over these last several starts. Minor League Baseball's leader in quality starts this year, tied with one other pitcher, and it's no surprise why, especially after hearing the bright comments of Richard Fitz, the Alabama native, who has continued to impress us here at TD Bank Ballpark, where we have got, believe it or not, as of the time recording this, only 3 homestands left. We've got the Mets affiliate, Binghamton, coming in the second week of August. The Hartford Yard Goats, the Rockies affiliate, make their only trip here the second to last week of August. And then we welcome the Erie Seawolves to town, the first half winner in the Southwest Division in September. then we end up going to the playoffs end of September. So it's been impressive to see, just kind of beating on one last thing that we've touched on quite a bit this episode, the sustained success, the new names contributing to it, along with the guys that have cemented themselves kind of as veterans at this point in the season, the Blaine Abetas, the Richard Fitzes, the guys throughout the lineup like Mickey Gasper, Elijah Dunham that have been here in Double-A, the Max Berts that were here winning the championship last year, and the Patriots are going to try and keep the pedal down and sustain that success, entering the playoffs and steamroll their way to a second straight Eastern League championship.
And with this team, it is going to be almost easy to do that. It appears with the current roster construction, especially with a guy like Max Burt, who's been kind of the glue guy for this team over the past couple of seasons and playing such a crucial part of the championship last year. Burt, he's been on a roll. We didn't even get to touch on him. That's how dominant this Patriots team is, and they're going to sustain it very well looking at this entire roster, even, you know, with a guy like Ben Rice adjusting to the Double-A level even more, Caleb Durbin on the brink of coming back off the IL. So many big names to keep an eye out throughout the course of this season. To foreshadow a little bit to the postseason, you talk about an Erie team that is straight out dominated all year down in the Southwest Division of the Eastern League, potentially rematch of the championship. Somerset currently in second place in the second half behind Portland, and that would be a rematch of the first series as well in the Eastern League playoffs last year. So a lot of very good teams, whole lot of storylines coming up in the Eastern League, and it has been a very fun team and a very fun season to this point.
And there's no saying why we can't see history potentially repeat itself. You mentioned Portland continuing to lead the way along with the Patriots in the Northeast Division, the team the Patriots defeated en route to the Eastern League Championship, and the team that they beat has already punched its ticket to the playoffs. So coming into this season, we knew what happened last year, and it's kind of looking like a repeat of what we saw in 2022. Patriots continuing to put the pedal down, the best record in all of Double-A entering the month of August. It has been quite a sight to see, and there is no end in sight. We're going to see some more exciting baseball here at TD Bank Ballpark to round out the regular season. Three more homestands to go, and then we get back into the playoffs. Exciting times here in Somerset. Hard to think they could be any better than they were last year, but the Patriots look up to the challenge, and it has been a really fun season to watch here from our seats. Big thanks to everyone involved with this month's Patriots in Pinstripes podcast. That includes the Yankees minor league hitting coordinator, Joe Migliaccio, as well as Richard Fitz, Ben Rice, and for my on-air partner, Eli Fishman. Stephen Cusimano here signing off and saying so long once again on the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and we'll see you at TD Bank Ballpark.